So I'm Robin Goff, and I'm a change agent. How many of you relate to that? Change agents. Got a room full of them? I think so. So what is a change agent? I did my master's degree at San Francisco Theological Seminary, and it was called a Master of Arts in Values. Well, the stated purpose of that program was to create change agents. It was the most fun. It like took apart all your value system, put it back together, explored the values in our country and our culture and how are they formed and how do you change them. Well, you come out of this program and it's like you can't go to the classified ads. There's no job description for a change agent, you know? So I just started following my inner guidance and finding my way. And in meditation, I heard you are to create a light center. And so I didn't know what that meant, but I just started doing it. I started stepping out and saying, I'm building this center and it will be about healing, spiritual healing, and do you want to join in? And so I had lots of people gathering and talking about that for years and years and years, and eventually found this funky little farm south of here about a half an hour and started the light center dream in motion. And we have been doing all kinds of retreats and workshops around spiritual and inner healing for about 19 years now. So now I have two young families living there. They're all about permaculture. They're growing chickens and pigs and vegetables and learning how to live more gently on the earth. And so everything we're doing, we're learning to grow in partnership with nature. So that's truly my passion. And when I first had my teacher of my lifetime, my main mentor, Helen Yamada, was coming, she would pick up on all these, she called them gatekeepers, like there's all these light beings, big, powerful light beings surrounding this place. And what they're doing is radiating out energy, light, out all around us in all directions to create harmony. So I started thinking about harmony and what is that and how do you get there? And what it is that I hold my note and put it out into the ethers and allow other notes to join it and come into harmony with it. I don't go out and try to change your note. I just hold my own note, walk my own truth. So that's kind of what we're about down there, is learning how to live on the planet a little more gently and holding our truth in harmony with the world. So from that point, about 10 years ago, I got called to start going to South Africa. And it originally started with a man from Chicago, and he was going to connect me with this big philanthropist, blah, 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 blah. None of that ever happened. But what happened was I got connected with South African people who are incredible. And it is one of the most beautiful places on the face of the planet. And those kids and their stories just caught my heart. You know, they're living with massive pandemics over there and lots of kids learning how to fend for themselves on the streets and raise each other and so on and so forth. And so I got hooked on it. And I've been going at least once a year for 10 years now and kind of looking at, what is this all about? You know, what am I doing from this little place in the woods in Kansas, what am I doing going literally halfway around the world to this little town, remote rural town in South Africa? And so that's kind of been my workout over the last couple of years, is trying to synthesize all of this and discern what it's really all about. It's a lot of what I'm going to work with in the workshop this afternoon, is going deeper into why do we reach out the way we do and where we do and where we're called to be on the planet? So when I started out on this path of traveling back and forth doing outreach in South Africa, there were some questions about that. I've been called into question a lot, actually, through Unity. And the question was, well, we don't do missionary work. Why are you doing this? This isn't Unity. We don't do this. And so I stood up to that and started saying, but why? Why are we not showing up like every other denomination in the world, wherever there's massive pandemics, where there is a physical crisis like a Katrina, et cetera, et cetera? All these other denominations are set, ready to go. They got feet on the ground, trucks rolling. But Unity people have never done this. And I understand that. I understand that it's about redefining what missionary work is all about. And so there I am, this change agent, always pushing the envelope. When I first started the Light Center, this is a little side story, I was called in on the carpet. And we were doing all these workshops, and we had a Native American teacher coming and energy healers coming and teaching. And this is quite a long time ago, mind you. And when I was taking classes at Unity Village, I used to raise my hand and say, you know, when you talk about these 12 powers, it reminds me of the chakras in the body. Is there any connection? They say, no, we don't talk about chakras here at Unity Village. So I was shut down, you know. And so I was called in on the carpet, and they said, so you've got this Light Center, and it's a Unity Center. It's an what's called an alternative Unity ministry. And I said, what's this got to do with Unity? And I said, well, Charles and Myrtle set about buying this little farm in Lee's Summit, growing healthy food, and feeding really beautiful, healthy vegetables to people, and teaching and practicing healing. I rest my case. So I guess I must have passed mustard, and they today have just started, within the last couple of weeks it's open, this amazing healing center at Unity Village, and every floor of the tower, you know the big tower with the light on top? Every floor of that tower represents a different chakra. I mean, you love that. We have come a full circle, you know? We're back to our roots. Healing is back in the middle of Unity Village. So it strikes me that with all these amazing things happening and coming together, we are literally now in this massive web or net that connects this whole planet. So what I mean by that is, we used to call it a web, but a web, you think of a spider web and they're real easy to break. Now I think of it as a net that's like as strong as a fishing net out in the ocean, really powerful. But a net is like this big structure that creates safety all around us and all around this whole planet. So that as different entities in our culture start to crumble and fall apart, like some corporations are doing, like our economy is doing, like our medical model does at times, as things fall apart, then there's already in place this amazing net to catch us. We're in safety. We're already surrounded in this powerful web. And it's light-driven. It's made of light. So it doesn't look like a fishing net. It looks like a light net that's all around us. Some people can see it. And I think it's sort of mimicked by the World Wide Web. You know, that's part of it. And it helps us, doesn't it? It helps us generate this net. So I'll tell you a really cool story. About a couple weeks ago, I was contacted by this young man via LinkedIn. Now, I'm not a big social media person, but I do it, you know. And this young man writes to me, and his writing is beautiful. I mean, just heart-opening, beautiful stuff. And he said he was touched by something he read that I had written about bridging hearts. And so he's pouring out all this beautiful stuff and gives me his link, and I read it. And he's this young guy who rode a bicycle from Egypt all the way to Cape Town, which is the whole entire north-south length of the continent of Africa. And he got some Guinness Book of World Record thing, you know. But all along the way, then he was interacting with children in the streets in different countries throughout the whole continent of Africa and seeing the amazing stories along the way. So his writing was just very heart-opening and touching. So I write back to him and tell him some stories that I'm experiencing as well. And he had linked up with a guy named Mier, who was Maasai, and he was also walking. through southern and sub-Saharan Africa, and he walked with him and learned a lot from this beautiful young man. So he writes back to me, "Thank you for your kind words of encouragement and support. Mier once gave me the analogy of trying to hit a bird in a tree with a stone. The moment you let that stone go, you can really feel if your intention was clear or not, if your stone will find its target." I have shared this story with hundreds in the last few months, and sometimes the lack of reply, or worse, the lukewarm temperature of a response, takes the wind out of my sails. And yet, when I hear from someone like you, I am brought back to my intention, back to the truth that beyond my own intention and the actions that follow, I have no control. I must not force my vision on others, but rather walk my own path with conviction. So it reminded me of that learning about creating harmony. You hold your own intention, your own truth, and let it ripple out into the world. So I write back to this young man. I said, "Oh, you have got to meet Sonia Cruz. I met her a couple years ago in South Africa. She's this great gal." She was a white woman, young woman, who walked all of South Africa on foot with just a backpack and a few bucks. And everybody said, "You can't do that. That's not safe. You won't be safe. South Africa is dangerous." And she was always safe, and she was always welcomed and taken into people's homes and given the very, very best place to sleep and the very best food to eat. And so she was like proving that this hospitality ethic called Ubuntu is alive and well in South Africa. So she called herself the Ubuntu girl. So I said, "Howard, you must connect with Sonia." He wrote back, "Oh, I'm going to a dinner tonight where Sonia is speaking, and I hope to meet her." Now, how freaky is that? We're talking halfway around the world. I happen to have met Sonia. I happen to mention it to him, and he happens to be having dinner with her tonight. Okay, so that's the World Wide Web in its finest glory. We are connecting powerfully beyond our wildest dreams. And it's for the good. It is for the good. So somewhere along the line here, I encountered this amazing Barbara Marx Hubbard. How many of you are familiar already with Barbara Marx Hubbard and her work? Good, a few of you are. She is an 83-year-old grand woman of our times, a wise elder. And she ran for vice president in 1984 on the Democratic ticket. And her whole point in running was to have the opportunity to stand in front of the convention and give a speech. And she didn't win that. That was Geraldine Ferraro got that. But anyway, she wanted to create a peace room. And the idea was if the president has a war room, the vice president should have a peace room. And in that space, network all things that are good and innovative in the world that are working in all sectors of society. Education, growing food, art, economics, governance, spirituality, all of it. What's working in the world? And get people linked up so that they can network and learn from each other and share together and make all these things bigger. What a brilliant idea. 1984 that was. And of course, it's still coming into fruition now, years and years later. So last year she did a big link up called Birth 2012. And she used the image a lot of the butterfly and how in the cocoon, the caterpillar has to dissolve. And for a while, you're just in there in this soup of dissolving caterpillar, you know? And then there are these cells called the imaginal cells that hold the blueprint for a butterfly to form itself. Isn't that brilliant? Imaginal cells, just like we talk about using our imagination to create what is good and true on our own path, you know, in our own lives. So that just really, really resonated with me. And that's where I got this soar like a butterfly idea. I just jumped off from that and went flying with the butterflies and what a butterfly is all about. So This is the core of Unity's teaching, the law of mind action, that our thoughts create our reality. My thoughts create what's going on in my physical body. And so Barbara's message of creating collectively across all sectors of society new and innovative ways, bring it all together, she called it conscious evolution. And she believes that we as a species, for the first time ever, have the opportunity to choose how we want to evolve. How do we want this world to be? Millions of us are busy at this work. Millions of imaginal cells are right now creating new ways to do everything in the world. You know? Isn't that exciting? So here's what Barbara says. BarbaraMarksHubbard.com is where I found this. And most importantly, conscious evolution enables us, if we take responsibility for it, to use our creative power to guide our own lives and the evolution of the systems and the communities in which we live and work. It is a process by which individuals and groups, families, organizations, and societies can envision and create images of what should be and bring those images to life by design. So that's a pretty big charge we have as human beings who get to be here at this moment in time on this planet to co-create a world that works for all, which is, by the way, the mission statement for Unity Worldwide Ministries, co-creating a world that works for all. So I went to Co-Creators Convergence in Colorado not too long ago and met an amazing man there named Richard Flyer. And he has been creating connections gatherings in Reno, Nevada for 10 years now. And started out with just him and a little core group of people. And they started coming together not to create a new project, not to do stuff, but to network stuff. Network people with passions, with projects, with great ideas. Network them together with other people who can help them, other people who are on a similar track, other people who have resources they can bring to that project. So we just had our first connections gathering here at the Annex last week, and there were about a dozen of us there. Robin Kidney was there with us. And just in that couple of hours we had together, we had potluck and shared ideas. I was so inspired by the things that popped forth. You know, you get people together, you get into a good coherence together, get your hearts together, and then start sharing your dreams and your visions, and amazing things happen. And right away, this person across the room goes, "Oh, I know just the person to connect you with for that." And this person goes, "Give me your email, because I've got an idea for that." It was like pop, 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 magic. And we could do that right now in this room, and the same thing would happen, because lots of you have great ideas that needs some feet under them, needs some extra boost to make them happen. So that's where we're going right now, is how do we hook up throughout this community all that is good and is true and is working, innovative, passionate ideas that we as imaginal cells are bringing to consciousness so that they can outpicture in our world and change our world. Because we're all getting it, aren't we, that we need to work from the grassroots up. Massive change in society happens very slowly when it comes trickle down, right? We've seen how that doesn't work very quickly or very well. And so people are stepping up and saying, "No, I'm a change agent. I can do this. I can make this happen. And here's my dream." And when you do that, there is so much energy in this world now and pouring into this world from the source to help you make that happen, that it'll knock your socks off. just like Howard finding me all the way from South Africa so that we could talk and share together through the internet. It's happening, it's happening, it's happening. So I'll just tell you a quick little side story. This also starts back in 2012. Back when I was working a lot with Barbara Marx Hubbard, and I started getting this pull in my meditations to Lawrence. And here I am down there at the Light Center, been there 19 years. Something's pulling me to Lawrence. So I started discussing it with Rev Shanna when she was here and talking about ideas and how can we work together and what might happen. You know, I just feel like I'm coming out of the woods. Well, my prayer partner, Judah Lewis, was getting similar guidance. She had a farm right out near the Light Center, and she was feeling pulled to move into Lawrence. And she couldn't understand that. She loved her farm. She loved her garden. But she was feeling pulled into Lawrence. And I'm feeling like, you know, I'm supposed to bring more young people to the Light Center to move in here and take it, you know, take the plow out of my hands and do the work of running a big center like this. And so in 1 week, Rev Shanna left here, and people at Unity Church of Lawrence said, sure, Robin, come here, do some meditations, do what you want, come talk, do whatever. I said, oh, okay. And people moved into our meeting space at the Light Center. They moved into the barn, and that's our retreat center. And Judah moved into her new house in 1 week. We moved into Lawrence, others moved into the Light Center, boom, 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 boom. And so here I am today, and I'm feeling so welcomed and embraced in this family that I've been loosely a part of for about 20 years now, and I feel the heart of this church is strong and beating, and it's very, very welcoming. Yay, thank you. So the fact of the matter is that we could all of us marinate in the cocoon with the dissolving stuff, right? Couldn't we talk about how awful it is out there with the burning and the flooding and the shaking and quaking and the dishonesty that we hear about in many sectors of our society, blah, 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 blah. We could do that. We could marinate in that. Or we could say, no, I am an imaginal cell, and I am here to create the butterfly. I am gonna soar because I've got good stuff to bring. And you all are imaginal cells. Just know that, or you wouldn't be in this room. I know that. And so I have explored deeply the energy healing structures and ways of moving that can help us to heal this planet just as we heal our own bodies into the wholeness that's already there. So that's what I'm going to want to work with you this afternoon, anybody who can join me, and kind of go a little deeper into how do we apply these energy healing principles at a very, very deep and profound level in the world right now. So what I know is that spirit has the intelligence to know what is needed. I don't even have to know. I just have to say yes and keep showing up and keep showing up. And so if every single person in this room would claim themselves as an imaginal cell, look how much would happen, how much would ripple out from this group of people. It's huge, isn't it? And some of you might be sitting there going, oh, it's too big, it's too much, I don't know what to do, I'm overwhelmed, I watch the news, blah, 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 blah. What? I don't know what I can do, I'm just one person, I have no idea what I can do. Well, if you ever question the importance of one, think about trying to go to sleep on a summer night and one mosquito buzzing around your head, you know? One makes a big impact. You make a big impact. So I'll just close with one of my favorite role model teachers in this world, Julia Butterfly Hill. who sat up in Luna, a giant sequoia tree. Some of you are remembering this story. She sat up there and camped there so they wouldn't chop down this enormous, ancient, magnificent tree. She lived up there in the tree for the longest time. And when she came down, she was interviewed about how could you keep going? How could you do this? This must have been so hard for you. And she said, as long as even one person in this world keeps hope alive, there is still hope in the world. There is still hope in the world. Be that one. Be that one to make that much difference. And so it is. Thank you.